May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is 2 Thessalonians, the last chapter, chapter 3, and verse 16. It's a profoundly shocking scripture, and can be a very troubling one, or a very encouraging one, promising one. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. What I mean by troubling is if that's not your experience, that you're knowing the grace of peace in every circumstance, the troubling thing can be, what's the problem? The promising thing is, this is what God says. And therefore, this is a reality that every Christian can experience. May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Now, one of the things about this reality is that peace isn't something that you can just conjure up on your own. What we as human beings do to try to create peace on our own is to try to control things. And what really results from that is more anxiety and anger, because it's not really easy to control everything. And as you can't control things, it just makes you angry and anxious. And it's all an attempt to make everybody behave and everything act right so you can have peace. If you were here earlier in the week, we talked about that if you're going to know the rule of the dove, and dove's a picture of the Holy Spirit, and doves just internationally speak of peace, that he can only rule where he finds the heart of a lamb, which speaks of absolute, total, drastic, radical surrender to God's will. There's a place in Colossians. When I first started walking with the Lord about 40 years ago, this is one of the scriptures everybody kind of had to memorize as part of the deal. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ govern your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's God who grants peace. Peace comes from a personal relationship with him. May the God of peace, he's the God of peace, so peace belongs to him, continually grant you, that's a gift, you peace in every circumstance. And so the only hope you and I ever have to have real peace that's not got anything to do with circumstances, people's behavior, is a connection to God. It's the peace of God that comes to us in grace. That's the only hope that any of us are ever going to have of knowing real peace. And of all and people that I've known in my life, and if I were to ask them, what are you really after? People say, like, happiness. I just want some peace in my life. Well, it can only come if God continually grants it to you. Again, it's the peace of Christ that governs our hearts. So here is an issue that we need to really get down on us as God's making us whole. If, as a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, if, as a Christian, you aren't experiencing the peace of God, it's not God's fault. And I'm going to go even farther and say it's because there's sin in your life. If you're not experiencing the peace that God gives in relationship to him continually, it's because there's sin in our lives. And your question might be, wait a minute, what if somebody does something terrible to you? Or you're in some really hard place or brokenhearted situation? Well, the peace of God transcends all that. You can be sad and grieve. You can be in situations that are full of stress or represent stress and still know the peace of God. Because the issue is, God's peace is foolproof. I'm just telling you that in heaven, God never gets anxious or gives into depression or all those other things. God's peace transcends all that. And that's the kind of peace he's offering. It's a supernatural peace. It's something that comes from God, flows from God. You hear me? So I'm not talking about that. You may not have unpeaceful situations. Paul even said that though he sorrowed, yet he was always rejoicing. What a paradox. There can be sorrow going in my life, but deep down in my inner man, there's always the joy of the Lord happening when you're walking with the Lord. And so the issue is this, is that, and to me, that's a help. That doesn't condemn me. You see, I want to know how to walk in that place. I know what it is to be mentally ill. Those of you who know my testimony, 40 years ago when I surrendered my life to Christ, I was mentally ill. I was clinically mentally ill. I suffered from clinical depression and clinical anxiety. Not just occasional anxiety, clinical, diagnosed the condition. And so not experiencing peace is something I have an acute memory of. It's just part of my emotional DNA. I remember what that's like. I know what that feels like. And so when I go to a time in my life and there's no peace, I want to know what's up, because I want to get back to that place that God promises, that He would continually grant me peace in every circumstance. And one of the things I had to learn is this, that if I'm not walking in peace, it's not somebody else's fault. If I'm not experiencing the peace of God, there's sin in my life, and it's not somebody else's sin. It's my sin. That doesn't make me feel guilty. I can't do anything about anybody else's sin. If my peace is dependent on this person finally acting right, or this situation finally working out right, then I'm in trouble. Because what if they never act right? And what if the situation never changes? There's got to be a better hope for victory than that. And so the Holy Spirit, who's the convictor, is always faithful. It could be simple, something as simple as, well, if you're saying I'm doing something in sin, you're saying I'm a terrible person, and that's why I'm not walking in peace. That's not what I'm saying at all. If that's you and our concept of sin, then we've got to really grow some. Sin can just be, I'm not trusting God in the situation. Or I'm entertaining garbage thoughts. Or I'm entertaining angry thoughts toward someone. Or bitterness or resentment. Or self-hatred. All those are sin. Well, this person really hurt me. But if you are pondering that hurt over and over again, treasuring that hurt and your resentment towards them, that's your sin. Their sin doesn't have the capacity to steal your peace. It can hurt your feelings and hurt your heart, but you can still walk in the peace of God. It's our sinful response that robs us of peace and gets us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so again, see, lambs don't carry that stuff around with them. Here's a word I want to give you. If God doesn't think it, you can't. You see, strongholds are raised up against the knowledge of God. And strongholds are houses of thoughts that we carry, entertain. Demonic spirits can even take up residence in them. But are raised up against the knowledge of God. And if I think things that God doesn't give him permission, if God himself doesn't think, then that's contrary to the knowledge of God. I can't think about a person what God doesn't think about them. I can't think about myself any other way than the way God thinks about me. And you know what it says in Scripture? It says, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. If I were to try to number them, it would be larger than the sand. Garbage in, garbage out. Lord, teach us how to steward the peace of God, how to walk in that. Teach us, Lord, the psychology of sin and how that's the avenue that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Lord, you don't come and show us sin to condemn us. That's not who you are. We don't have to be afraid to own things. Perfect love casts out fear. Lord, you show us sin to set us free, not to condemn us. To release us so that you can, again, continually grant us peace in every circumstance. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.